Anyone want to share with me what you feel like? What is success? What is success? What is it? Have your children follow the Lord. So we all, in some ways or another, we have different definitions of success. That was one of my greatest things. If I could have my follow in the ways of the Lord, be a success, I would be a successful father. Didn't really care what they did. I didn't care what, if they got degrees or if they got really wonderful jobs. What was most important to me, and this is what you had to instill in those children when they were really young, from the time that they were, before they could even talk or walk, you made it very clear to them that, you know, Dad's going to be proud of you, whatever you do in life, but he's going to be most proud of you if you are living for the Lord. That's the most important decision any one of us can make. There's not a decision in the world that's more important than that decision. And then every other decision that we make will, that decision affects every other decision that we make. Now, we talk about success, we talk about failure. Because all of us in some ways have a idea in our mind of what success is and what failure is. You know, get a good job, and some people say things about people, well, there was a failure to launch. He's a failure. You can fail without being a failure. You know the difference? You can fail without being a failure. And I don't believe that the point of it, you fall seven times, you get up eight, you're a success. You fall seven times, you get up six, you failed. You're a failure. Now, all during the process of that, all those times, those six times, seven times that you fail or you fall, it's a failure in one sense, but it doesn't define who you are. All right? Many of us in here have not failed at something. Remember when we were in school, one of the things that we wanted to do was get straight A's or whatever. It's straight A's. Important to me. I mean, I worked hard enough to be a student, but I'm not going to always trying to make certain that I'm a straight A student, right? But I want to make certain that I'm not a failure. I want to make certain that on none of my tests that I go through that I get an F. I want to make certain of that. And in the same way, do you realize that God has a particular purpose for every one of our lives? And whatever success that we are, we're the President of the United States, we're richest man in the world, whatever those, in our minds, when we look at those individuals, they are successful people. Don't we think that they're successful? But does God think that they're successful? All right? The whole point is, it depends on what, very important for us, what, or whether or not we have done what his expectations are. So I'm going to read, I want us to read a scripture. Let's turn to Luke, the 22nd chapter. I want to read first verse, Luke 22, verse 1. And the Lord said, Simon, Satan had hard to have you, and he may sift you as wheat. He said, I have prayed for you. Now, who's talking here? This is speaking. He says, Simon, I want to tell you something. There's a backstory that's going on in your life, that there is a conversation that I've had. I know what his intention is for you. So he says, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brothers. Now here's what he said. In this essence, he says, I've had a conversation and in the spirit realm, and in the spirit realm, the conversation between find this the precedent in this, in the Job. If you go to Job, you'll find out that there is things that are going in the spiritual world that the natural world is not privy to. So he says, the Satan has desired to have you, and I want us to all understand that the devil is not your friend. The devil is going to fight you in every way that he can, but I want you to also understand that Jesus has prayed for every one of us, that we don't fail, all right? All right, so I pray for you that your faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brothers. Now, what this is basically saying is, Peter, you're going to fail. You're going to fail. You're going to fall. The thing that I'm asking you not to, that you think is not going to happen, is going to happen. All right? So let's read it.
And he said unto him.
He said unto him.
Lord, I am ready to go with
thee. Oh, I'm not going to fail, Lord. I'm not going to fail. That's impossible. I'm ready to go with thee.
Both into prison
and to death. And he said,
I tell thee,
Peter,
the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny
that thou knowest me. That's good enough for now. So he says here, when you're converted, after you've fallen, I want you to get back up.
Yes.
And when you get back up, you're going to help your brothers. Now, how is he in a position to help your brother? You're in a position to help your brother because you just failed. And you're resilient in that failure. And you're going to get back up, and then you're going to teach your brothers how not to let this happen to us, happen to you again. So what we have to understand is sometimes the Lord allows us to fail. And I want to make a distinction here that you do not have to fail, not have to sin more or less every day. That's not what we're talking about. But there are going to be failures in our lives, things that happen, things that we did, things that we thought would never happen. And this is what Peter is saying to Jesus. Lord, I'm not going to fail. I'm going to go with you to prison. I'm going to go whatever it is that I have to do, but I am committed to you. And he says, Peter, what I'm praying for is not that you fail, but that you fail. So what happens if your faith fails and you've come to a place or conclusion in your mind that is just hopeless? I don't believe that I can recover from this, and I don't believe that I can be helped, and I'm just going to sit here and I'm just going to lay it down and die. Then your faith has failed. But if you say in your mind, by the help and the grace of God, that God has prayed for me, that I do not have to be a failure, that when I stop and I fall down 5 times and I get up 6, I am not a failure. And don't let people tell you that you're a failure, where you're never good at anything. I've had people do that, and we got low self-esteem, and it doesn't seem like I can recover from that. You can recover by the help of the Lord. It doesn't matter what's happened to you. Do you know there are a lot of things I believe every one of us can understand that there are things that have happened in our life that are horrible. They're bad. But God has taken us through those things with the situation that Peter has. So he says here, when you're converted, when you get back up from that fall, then what I want you to do, I want you to understand, I want you to have the experience that you need to be able to help your brothers through something like this as well. So do you know sometimes that I was talking to a young man the other day. We had a long conversation because we were in the vehicle traveling together. And I was talking to a young man the other day about his drug addictions and all the things that he had done. And it was one of the most amazing things that I'd ever heard. See, I didn't have that kind of an experience. I never tried any drugs or did anything like that. And so I don't have the experience, but to hear somebody else, and I vicariously can experience what he's gone through, now I can point somebody, and he's come out of it. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? He's come out of it. God has blessed him, and I believe the Lord is continuing to work with this young man, and I believe at some point he's going to give his heart to the Lord. We're working on that, right? That's the next step, right? But you've got to lead him. But you can't make them drink. You can lead somebody to Christ and you can say, here's all the blessings of salvation. Here's where you never have to fail again. Here's where you never have to fall again. Do you realize that God can do that? Not only do you not have to fail, you don't have to fall even. That's the wonderful thing. And I believe God, is as we lead people to Christ, how do we lead people to Christ? First of all, through example. People don't want you preaching to them all the time. They church in a setting like this, and they'll hear a sermon, they'll hear you preach and expound on the Word of God and what this Word means, and sometimes they don't want to hear it in a natural conversation. But let me tell you how you can preach to people. You can preach to people and give this great, wonderful sermon by the life that you live. But the example that you present to them, here's the example you're presenting to people, and people are looking at you and they're saying, how do you do that? And then, well, I'm glad you asked. And now here's my introduction and my opportunity to share with you what God has done in my life. But I don't force it on people. I don't make them do a particular thing. If they don't want to do it, I don't make them do it, right? But the Lord has a way of ministering to people. He has a way of doing that. All right? I want us to understand that. All right, let's go a little further here. I tell thee, people, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. All right, I want to go to, and then let's drop down to the 54th verse. We'll continue on that. 54, verse 54.
And then took they him
and led him.
And led him.
And brought him into
now,
the high priest's
Now, this is talking about,
house.
Here's the situation about Jesus. Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross, all right, and die. We talked about that. We sang about that today, didn't we? Well, here's a situation where he's getting ready to go to the cross, but before he goes to the cross, he has to go to the trial. He has to be tried, and has to go to the Pilate and see what they say about him and go through this trial situation. And now, so here's what they're saying. They took him and led him
into the high priest's house.
In the high priest's house.
And Peter followed
afar off.
And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall
and were set down together,
Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid
beheld him as he sat by the fire.
And earnestly looked upon him and said,
This man was also with him.
And he denied him,
saying, Woman, I know him not. So here's Peter's failure. So now, one of the things that I want us to say, that there's sometimes we put ourselves in situations that we should not put ourselves in. If you know you have a weakness in a particular thing, don't be around people that are doing it, period. So Peter had thought he had a lot more strength than he did. And how many of us have been in situations that we thought we had a lot more strength than we really had at that particular moment? So this was whose trial? Whose trial was it? It was Jesus' trial. So, you know, it wasn't Peter's trial. But Peter followed afar off. So he's curious about what's happening to Jesus. So he's going to follow and he's going to see. And then as a result of him following, now what the rest of the disciples were somewhere altogether different. They didn't fail him in that regard. They just said, I don't have enough of what it takes to follow you right now, Lord. So I'm going to stay right here. I'm going to let you go to trial and we're going to be over here praying for you. All right. But Peter was a little bit different. Peter's personality. You know, all of us have different personalities. My personality is completely different from Brother Michael's. I probably am much more of a risk taker than he is, I would assume. I don't know, but I think I am. And Peter was like that. Peter was one of those individuals that he stepped out. You remember, we'll talk about a little bit more, but he stepped out of the boat and walked on water. Do you know of any other person that walked on water? No, other than Jesus. But Peter was a person that sometimes he acted before he thought about it, all right? And it's nothing wrong with those personalities. Sometimes the Lord has to help us with our different various personalities. There's nothing wrong with your personality. It's not better than mine. Mine's not better than yours. It's just different, okay? So here's the situation here. They took him and they led him and brought him to the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled the fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them, but a certain maid beheld him and sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him. So she was really looking at him. Have you ever seen somebody? I know you. I know there's something about you. I've seen you before. Have you ever had that kind of a situation? And I've seen you, but where have I seen you before? And then it dawned on her in her mind, as she said, this is what it's talking about when it says, she looked earnestly on him and said, you were with them too. And what did Peter say? Peter realizes that if I acknowledge and embrace that I'm part of this Jesus crew and this team, then they're going to take me and they're going to try me too. And I don't have that. So he denied.
He said, he lied.
In essence, he lied. And he said, no, I don't know him, right?
Woman, I know him not.
Woman, I know him not.
And after a little while, another saw him.
Now, he didn't leave at that particular point. Maybe he felt convicted by. He didn't tell the truth there. He said, after a little while, another saw him.
And they said, thou art also with them.
You're also with him.
And Peter said,
man, I am not. So a woman said it. Now a man said, man, I am not. All right.
And about the space of one hour, another confidently affirmed.
I know you're with him. I was thinking about it. I've seen you with him. I've seen you preaching with him. I've seen you while he was there preaching. He
Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean.
He's a Galilean.
And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake,
the cock crowed. So what Jesus actually did, he projected and he looked into the future and he said, this is what's going to happen, Peter. Even though you say that it's not going to happen, here's what I want to tell us. There are some times that we need to get ourselves out of situations so that we don't deny the Lord, so that we don't fail. There are some places, I know me, I know that there are some places that I can't go to, and there are some people that I can't be around. You know why? Because I know my weakness. I know my issues. Oh, but you've been a pastor for 35 years. That doesn't matter. We all have a weakness. Why do we have weaknesses? The Lord allows us to have weaknesses, and some of those weaknesses we never really overcome. You know why He allows us to have them? Because He wants us to understand and know that we are completely dependent on Him. And the devil knows our weaknesses as well. This is why he was going to try to destroy Peter. This is why maybe he encouraged Peter to go into in this place. He knows his weakness. He knows his personality. He knows yours as well. Don't try to be too strong when you're not. It's okay to be weak. Y'all with me on that? It's all right to be weak. It's all right to say, you know what? I ain't strong enough to do that. If somebody else is smoking dope and you know that that's something that you used to do and you just have this affinity to it and you struggle with it from time to time, don't go to the party. Well, they're going to think I'm square. Let them think whatever they want to think. If you know you have an issue and whatever that issue is, don't go there. Does that make sense? Peter went there. He went. And as a result, he failed. Because he thought, what did he say to Jesus? I'm not going to do that. No, I'm just going to say, have a drink. No, I'm just going to drink ginger ale. Don't go to the bar. If that's your weakness, don't go to the bar. Don't drink ginger ale. Don't drink milk. Don't drink water. Just don't go. Fair enough? Clock crew. 2061.
And the Lord turned.
The Lord turned
and looked upon Peter.
So Peter and Jesus were close enough together. And Jesus already knew what Peter was going to do. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter.
And Peter remembered the word of the Lord.
They made eye contact.
How he had said unto him.
And Peter remembered. Now, you look at this scene. This is a scene that is, have you ever felt so despondent that you did something that you shouldn't have done? And maybe your mother told you, I told you not to do that. And you did it anyway. And the results of what you're dealing with right now is because you did it anyway. And I told you not to do it. And so this is the situation with Peter. Peter is looking at Jesus, and Jesus is looking at Peter. Now, here's what I want us to understand. At this particular point, we can get to the point that we can say, you know what? We've got to deal with that in some kind of way. I got to either say, I accept this. I accept full responsibility for it. And I'm going to repent of that. And this is what Peter did. And what did he say he did? He said he went out bitterly. I'm sorry, Lord, that I did that. I failed you. But he failed those three times. Fourth one, he got up. And Peter became one of the most dominant apostles in the scripture. Now, what does this tell us? That tells us that we can be resilient. That if there is a failure, it's not the end of the road. It's not something that God does not want to restore you back to the place that He wants you to be, where success is, where success should be. May the Lord help us to do that. And I want us to understand also that there is a cost experience. There are certain things. Have we ever told our children, don't touch the hot stove? I knew of a mother that told her child, don't touch the stove because it's hot. Don't touch it with your finger. Don't do that because it's hot. So they didn't do it. But you know what they did? They went and touched it with their chin. They touched it with their chin. Do you think they learned the lesson? I think they learned the lesson. Don't touch it with your chin. Don't touch it with your finger. Don't touch it with nothing. And in the same way, the Lord teaches us some of those lessons that we have to be willing, and the experience is that I bet they have never touched a hot stove again in their lives. Lord help us. Some of us don't get it, though. All right, let's go to another scripture. Read another situation here. I want to read Romans, the fifth chapter.
Romans 5 and 3. And not only so, glory in tribulations also.
Glory in afflictions also.
Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost.
Now, what I want us to get on here is that all of us are going to have some tribulations. We're going to have trials, we're going to have tests, we're going to have problems that we're going to go through. All of us. All right? But what does it do? What does those trials and tribulations, what do they do? What does the scripture say they do? They make you strong. They work experience. So we have experience. The older we get, the more experience that we have. And it should be that we learn from the experiences that we've had in the past so that we don't make the same mistake again. All right? So God does not want us to make the same mistake. So he allows us to have these experiences. To these hard places, and we see that God is taking care of us in the hard places, we know that if I have a hard place down the road, maybe a year from now, maybe 2 years from now, maybe a day from now, or a week from now, or a month from now, God's going to take care of me in that as well. Why? Because I have the experience. Things are difficult. Even if I fall down and skin my knee, how many of us fell down and skinned our knee when we were trying to learn how to ride a bicycle? How many times did we fall? I fell I don't know how many times, right? But today, I know how to ride a bicycle. Why? Because I got back up, got back on it, and I was not going to allow this thing to conquer me. I was going to conquer it. So I learned the balance. It's interesting watching the little children have the training wheels, and they're paddling around, and maybe they'll fall. They take the training wheels off. Maybe they'll fall, and they'll wobble all back and forth. But then at some point, you just see them, that they've got it. They've got it. This is what God wants you to understand, that you've got it. He's right there. And what do we do? What do we do as fathers? What do we do? They're riding the bike and we take the training wheels off and they're wanting dad to be right there with them. Don't move. And you're riding, all of a sudden you're running beside them and you're not holding on to anything. They're going on their own, and it's something wonderful. But they are afraid. If you just let them go, they're afraid and they'll probably fall off. Let me tell you what God does. God runs alongside of us on the bicycle. He takes the training wheels off and he runs alongside of it and he holds us and steadies us. And then as we go a little faster, then he takes his hands off all completely. And then we're just sailing on our own. That's what he wants. And that's what we want, right? We want to be successful. So here's the success. The little boy can ride a bicycle. I see Patrick riding a unicycle. I'm way too old to try to find out how to do that. But I guarantee you, if I got on one, I would fall. All right? Now I could ask him how many times he failed before he learned how to do it. Now he can ride it around wherever he wants to. I can't do that. But if I kept at it, I probably could. Now, my bones are a little more brittle than Patrick's are. So I need a little different situation and setup. But the point is, I could do it. If I determined in my mind that I could do it, at some point, I would learn it. All right, at some point, you can be completely successful at living a Christian life, completely successful at living your life. But you need the Lord to do it, to help you. All right, I want to read another scripture. Let's go to Matthew 14. We're talking about Peter here. 14th chapter of Matthew and 24th verse. Now, I want us to understand these are stories about people's lives. This Bible really is a story about people. And it's how they responded and how they reacted to God's dealings. But it's not just about their lives. It's kind of a parable example for us. That the Lord teaches us that if you don't put yourself in certain situations, you're going to be fine. But if you put yourself in situations like Peter put himself in, then you're not going to be fine. So let's be very careful about that. All right, read.
Matthew 5 and 24. No, 14. 14. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea. Tossed with waves.
For
the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night,
I have not ever been in a ship, a big ship, maybe a boat, and it rocks. And I can imagine what it would be like if the big waves come. But I have been in an airplane, and when the waves were boisterous, and that is not a good feeling. You're way up there, 30,000 feet up in the air, and it starts shaking pretty. And this is the same situation. But you know, I learned something. I'll tell you something. You know, I never really enjoyed flying, but I've flown all over the world. And I've learned, Lord, I would pray, Lord, please, please settle the wind, settle the wind. And then, and sometime the Lord said, act like he wasn't listening to me. Lord, settle the wind. And this thing is rocking, and the flight attendants, or our neighbors are flight attendants. Our flight attendants have to sit down and buckle up and all that. And then you kind of want to look at the expressions on their faces. Are they scared? I'm going to tell you what I did. So I decided, rather than asking the Lord to settle the wind, I asked the Lord to settle my heart and settle my fear. And you know, when I get in a situation like that, I say, Lord, you do whatever you want to with wind, but if you settle my heart and settle this, you know, I never like roller coasters, and I never like drops and all that kind of stuff. That stuff has never appealed to me, ever. But the Lord settles your heart, and he lets you know, I've got you. And now it doesn't bother me like it did before. That I can ask the Lord, Lord, settle my heart. That's a little tidbit that you might want to use when you're in the air.
And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said,
Lord said to Peter, come. Just one word. Now, I want us to understand, Peter didn't just jump off the boat and decided he was going to walk on the water. He said, Lord, you're walking on the water, and if you can do it, I can too. But he said, first of all, Lord, would you allow me to do it? If it's you, bid me to come to the on the water. Here's why I want us to understand, there is power in the word of God. There is power in the things that God says to us. So he says to Peter, come. One word, four letters, come. And Peter steps down with that one word. He steps down onto the water, something that no one else has ever done. Steps down on the water. Here's what I want us to understand here. That success is obeying God. All right? That's success. It's not, failure is not obeying God. That's failure. You want to have a person that's a failure, you have a person that's not obeying the Lord, that's a failure, okay? But it can be a failure that can be turned into a success. So Peter stepped down, and he began to walk on the water. He was doing something that no other man other than Jesus Christ had ever done, all right? So we can do the impossible. With God, all things are possible. This is what the scripture says. So he steps down on the water, and he's coming to the Lord. And what he's saying, all of a sudden, everybody else is in the safety of the boat. We're saying, we're not going to do it. He's in the safety of the boat. He gets down. He walks towards the Lord. And then all of a sudden, he realizes what he just did. This is why I said Peter thought before, acted before he thought about it. Now he acted. He's doing something. And then all of a sudden, he's looking around. And the waves didn't, the Lord didn't say, peace be still at that particular point. It was boisterous. The waves were going all over the place. So sometimes, while we're in the midst of obeying God and doing what God tells us to do, the waves are not going to stop. The waves are going to keep going. Well, Lord, I'll know it's you if the waves stop. No, you'll know it's you if he says come, and you start coming, and you're doing the impossible already. You're standing there doing what God wants you to do, and it's completely impossible. No one else has ever done it. And then all of a sudden, he starts putting his eyes on the waves and eyes on the things that are impossible and supposed to be impossible. And what happens? He begins to sink. And so what does he say? Lord, have mercy on me. And he reaches out to the Lord, and the Lord reaches out to him. The Lord is always there when you're going through some difficult time. He's always there. When you're about to sink, the Lord can reach down, and he can reach out, and he can pull you back up and bring you back on solid ground, on solid water. Not ice. Solid water. The Lord can do that. And so he reached down. He pulled Peter up, and then what did he do? He admonished him. He said, Peter, you were doing so well. Oh, you have little faith. Why did you start doubting? Why did you start doubting that you could do that? Sometimes what we need the Lord to do is, Lord, help me to believe that my faith will not fail. Help me to believe that I can do this particular thing. Yes, it's hard. Yes, it's difficult. Yes, it's not something that I'm normally do, but I'm doing it now. And if you can just help me, I can continue to walk this way, Lord, and you can be there with me. And the Lord lifted him up, and he walked him into the boat. The scripture, we won't read all of it. The scripture says he walked him into the boat. They got in the boat. Then he calmed the waves. Not before. So here's what I want us to understand. There are going to be some time that the Lord says, I'm not going to calm the waves until you get in the boat. I'm going to let you walk here. I'm going to let you go. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be some hard places in your life. But I'm with you. I want you to understand I'm with you. The Lord wants you to understand that He's with you. The Lord wants you to understand, no, you can't do it by yourself. Yes, there's weaknesses. Yes, there are things about you that you're going to need God to help you through those things. That's the only way that you're going to get them. So He puts you in situations where you need Him. Lord, why is this happening to me? This is just horrible. He wants you to know you need Him in order to be successful, in order not to be a failure. You need Him to help you through it. And He'll do it every time. And then He said, I want to show you what I can do. I created the universe. I'm holding it into place. I'm the one that's having this world orbit and the moons and the stars and all this. I'm the one that's doing this. Surely I can take care of your little problem. How big is that? I just want you to trust me. Why am I having to go through this? You're having to go through it because I want to show you myself. I want to show you how much I love you. I want to show you what I've done for you. I want to show you that you can do it by the help and the grace of God. You can get up again. And then He gets you into a place where He says, ye shall never fall. You know what that means? That means it doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what it is. You don't have to fall. Well, Brother Daryl, how did you become victorious in your... I have had plenty of failures even in my Christian experience. Things that I thought I was bigger than, and I had to learn. I had to become resilient. I had this in my mind. Say, I don't care what people do to me. They can spit on me. They can kick me. They can do that. But I know one thing. I'm going to make it to heaven. If it's the last thing I do. And it will be. I can make it there. You can make it there. You don't have to be a failure. You know, I've had people, and I'm gonna end it here because I didn't get as far as I wanted to, but maybe we'll pick it back up next Sunday and deal with this. But I want to failures and those places that we feel like we have failed. Yes, you have failed. Yes, I have failed. Yes, all of us have failed in some way or another. But let me tell you, Jesus is the success. He's the equation to whatever it is that you're going through. He's the common denominator that He's going to take you through this. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God can take you through whatever it is, whatever failures that you have right today? And do you realize that there's another point that I want to say? Your success is going to affect other people. Your failure affects other people. I've seen situations like this all the time, where if the parents go off the rails, the children are just about going to go off the rails too. But if the parents stay on the rails and they stay in the way they are supposed, the children are going to follow. Do you know why we have a problem in society? Our society is a composite of all of our choices. And you know why we have problems in our society? It's because people make stupid choices, just like we made. And people have failed, just like we failed. And people have decided that they're not going to get back up anyway. Their faith has failed. The devil got into their head, and the devil was able to tell them things in their head that God is saying, no, I've got another way. Look at this. You can choose this example or you can choose this one. Look at the example. You know what my mother used to do? One of the things that she did, I had a come from a family of 11. I had a brother that was he was wayward. Not kind of wayward, he was really wayward. And she would often look at us and she would say to us, you see him? That is what you don't want to be like. And she would use him as an example, and she would use other people as stark examples. If you continue on like that, if you continue doing like that, you're going to be like your brother. My brother was on drugs. He's the one that had like a whole lot of children with a whole lot of women and problems with police. Here's a wonderful thing. He passed away, but he got saved before he did that. So there's a redemption. So his story, all the things that he had, all the problems that he had in his life, all the things that my mother said, don't do like that. And all the times that when he'd come for Thanksgiving and all this, when are you going to give your heart to the Lord? Oh, Mama, I'm gonna get saved. And she'd tell every time he'd see it, it's like, oh, Mama, I at least got to go in. I'm going to get saved. I'm gonna live for the Lord. At some point in my life, he pushed it off. But the success of the story is he wasn't a failure. He failed a lot of times. But he wasn't a failure because ultimately, you know where he is now? He's in heaven. He's in heaven because he got up again and he said, all right, I'm going to try that. He didn't realize he was sick. He just said, called up a pastor there in Oklahoma, called him and said, I want to give my heart to the Lord. And went to the pastor and said he gave his heart to the Lord. And then a few weeks later, he found out he had pancreatic cancer. And he died like within a few months. Now, that's a real story. That's the story of my brother. I preached his funeral. This was early 2000s. But here's the point. He was probably 8 or 9 years older than I am. He's 8 or 9 years older than me. I'm number 8 out of 11. But here's the point that I want to make. We looked at him. We looked at his failures. Ultimately, we looked at his success. And that's what I want to say. Succeed. God has a desire and a plan for every one of our lives. And the plan is not necessarily what everybody else thinks is success. It's what God thinks is success. And so I want us to understand that the Lord has prayed for you. He didn't just pray for Peter. He prayed for fill in the blank. Whatever your name is, fill in the blank. The Lord prayed for you that your faith, that you just don't give up on religion. I'm just going to give up on religion because everybody in the church is a hypocrite. Not everybody in the church is a hypocrite. Not everybody in the church is a hypocrite. You might have seen a whole lot of hypocrites, but take your eyes off the hypocrites and put your eyes on people that are trying to live it. You do that. You do that. You will be successful. It's your example. What do you put your eyes on? You put your eyes on people that are successful. And that's what you aspire to be. And I can inspire people. I inspire my children to live for the Lord. Why? Because I'm living for the Lord. But if I wasn't doing it, you'd think that they wouldn't be doing it. It would be more difficult, wouldn't it? So here's what I want to say. May the Lord help us. You can be successful. You are not a failure. Yes, you failed, but you're not a failure. And don't let anybody tell you you are. You're not a failure until you completely give up, throw in the towel and say, it's over. Then you become a failure. But you define that, not other people. Well, he ain't done nothing. He's a failure to life. So what? I'm not through with my life yet. You haven't seen the best. The best is yet to come. That's what you say to people. May the Lord for me.